Good morning. Today I'm going to speak on Nicodemus. This topic is not an easy topic. It took me 2.5 weeks to study this portion of Scripture. Because there are many, many things that are hard to understand. And as you read commentaries, there are many views. How do we know which is the closest view, the best view? And because of this, I did quite a lot of research in this with all the books that I have and went to the library, to places to search. And with this message, I will share with you about the life of Nicodemus on being born again, part one. All right, now I give you the background. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in Jerusalem after the beginning of his earthly ministry. John stated briefly that Jesus went there for the Passover. Arriving in the temple, he found the money changers, sellers of cattle, sheep, and doves were there doing their business. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked at that, he drove them out, saying, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." Now, this in chapter 2. You must know the background. This led to Jesus' first confrontation with the religious leader. Now, I want you to read from the Bible, King James Version, John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. You read, I rest, okay? All right, John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. Ready? Go. Now, the word here, many, in verse 23, spoken of, were those who believe in the name of Jesus, believe not because he was the Son of God, believe because of his ability to perform miracles. For this reason, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he did not commit, in the King James Version, or entrust himself to them. He knew that in many cases their belief were not genuine and that they were not true followers. Now the word entrust or commit actually is the word believe. It means believe. How did the Lord Jesus knew they did not believe? Answer: he knew because he was God. John tells us that he needed no one to bear witness about men in verse 25. Because of his divinity, he knew the deceitfulness of their hearts and minds. And that is the background in which the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus takes place. Now in John chapter 3, begin with these words, especially I read to you in King James Version. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There is a little word in Greek, they, that was dropped out in this translation of King James Version. The reason is that James Version use the latest copy. Whereas the word day mostly found in the oldest copy, more ancient copy. And therefore, when King James Version at that time translated, it did not have the word day. Now, why is this so important here? Because it helps us to understand the background in this regard. Some commentators see that there is a connection between this statement about a man, Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 1, and the mention of men in chapter 2, verse 25. All right, there is a connection. If a connection is intended, then there are two ways to interpret it. Now, the first way to interpret is that if John wants the reader to know that Nicodemus was no different from any other man, as most men, he believed in Jesus only as a miracle worker and a great teacher, but not as a Messiah. And Jesus knew all men, and this all men includes who? Includes Nicodemus. All right, that's one way. This interpretation may be valid if the commentators understand the Greek word day means now. And as signaling the continuations of the narrative, not as a contrast. So the word must be translated as now. If you read English Standard Version, the version that I have with my tablets here, they translate in this way. Now there was a man of the Pharisees. You see, the word is in there, now. Now this is okay. If they translate in that way, nothing wrong. Because the word they has two meanings here. You can translate in both ways. Now the second way of interpret is that if John wants the reader to know that Nicodemus was different from the ordinary man, from those that's mentioned in chapter 2, his belief was deeper and carefully considered, the interpretation may be valid if John intended the Greek word day to translate as but, to signal a contrast between Nicodemus and those people. You see that? That's a great difference here. Now, I just take one here. Take the word now, okay? Now, there was a man of the Pharisees. John intended to use this man, Nicodemus, as an example of what he was writing about in John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. The kind of man who saw Jesus and had certain belief in him. Certain kind of belief. Not sure. Certain kind of belief. And therefore, in chapter 3, he writes this way. Now there was a man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus as a representative of those who possess a certain belief in Jesus, a certain regard for him, but one who had not yet or embraced Jesus as their Savior. Do you get it? That's a different thing. And from here, we can discern three things about Nicodemus. First of all, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. A Pharisee. People today do not think highly of Pharisees because of the things Jesus exposed about them during his earthly ministry, particularly their self-righteous hypocrisy. However true that may be, it is also true that they were the most respected people of their time. They were exceedingly religious. They dedicated their lives to the reading the law and preserve it, as the scribes did. There are three kinds of Jewish leader. the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. All right? Nicodemus belongs to the Pharisees. And there is another group called Sadducees, and another one called scribes. Pharisees are those conservative, all right? You call it in the modern days, conservative. Sadducees are those liberal, very modern. And their thinking on theologies are different. And scribes' duty is to study the law and copy it into the manuscript so that you won't get lost, you will keep on continuing. The word of God will still continue. So there are three kinds of Jewish leader, and Nicodemus was Pharisees. They also kept its commandment and regulations. The Pharisees were a set of men, few in number, who lived above the common level of life and enjoyed the great respect of everyone around them. Whoever looked at them, they will respect the Pharisees. Such a man was Nicodemus, an exemplar of moral character. Now, secondly, here it says that he was a leader of the people, intended a ruler of the Jews. That is, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. This would be the Sanhedrin, the highest ruling body among the Jews in that day, recognized by the Roman government. These are the ones who control Israel. So Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. Thirdly, he was a scholar. Our Lord Jesus identified Nicodemus as a teacher of Israel. That may mean Nicodemus was considered to be the greatest teacher in Jerusalem. You see? That's why he put teacher of Israel. Now, it is noteworthy that the name Nicodemus is a Greek name. It's not a Jewish name. It's a Greek name. In those days, upper-class Jews often gave their children Jewish and Greek names, signifying the two worlds in which they live and travel. So it belongs to the upper class. Nicodemus was not merely a man, but he was a great man. He was an educated man, an aristocrat, a man belonged to a powerful and distinguished family. That can be traced to the time of Maccabees. I don't want to enlarge a lot, just tell you some of the background. Now, it is amazing that a man of his status should come to see a carpenter who became a prophet. Yet, that is what he did. One evening, Nicodemus came to see Jesus. Why then did Nicodemus come to meet a young rabbi? Various reasons have been given. However, I'm not going to discuss them. One thing we want to do is to ask, what brought him to see Jesus? Answer. Obviously, Nicodemus had observed Jesus and had seen the miracles as mentioned in John chapter 2, verse 23. This led him to seek an audience with Jesus, though in a discreet and secret manner, as shown in our passage in verse 2. All right, we read verse 2. Will you please read verse 2? John 3, 2. Ready? Go. The first thing we notice is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Why? Most likely, he did not want to be seen with Jesus in broad daylight because he feared reproach from his fellow Pharisees. The Pharisees had tremendous power over the religious affairs of Israel, and to go against them was asking for trouble. Later, John said that many of the rulers of Israel, the Pharisees, okay, believe in Jesus, but would not openly confess him, fearing that the Pharisees might excommunicate them from the synagogue. In John chapter 12, verse 42, Nicodemus was not the only one. There are many others who secretly believe in Jesus. Like these rulers, Nicodemus became a secret believer in Jesus. How do we know that he was a secret believer? Well, he tried to defend Jesus before the Pharisees without openly confessing his faith in him. John chapter 7, verse 50 and 51. Later, Nicodemus joined Joseph of Arimathea in the burial of Jesus. You see, these two things show us that he was a believer, or else he would not do all these things. This is in John chapter 19, verse 38 and 39. Now, as Nicodemus approached Jesus, he came respectfully and addressed Jesus as what? As Rabbi. This was a great honor among, this title was a great honor among the Jews. The word rabbi means teacher or master. All right, remember this. He really called Jesus teacher or master. He himself was a scholar. A scholar calls someone teacher or master. That means he's above many, many others. So this was a great honor. And he said that, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Right? We all know that you are a teacher come from God. When he said, we know, it is natural to think that he was speaking also for others. Not himself, but for others. Obviously, there was a group of people, I believe that perhaps his colleagues, had been discussing about Jesus. And in their mind, Jesus could possibly or probably be the Messiah. Be the Messiah. How do we know all these things? Now, this is where the Greek come in. Will help you. The word know here, oidomen, used here, means that they had thought through and had reached a conclusion. And what was the conclusion of their discussion? He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He cannot immediately say a Messiah. You're not sure. So from talk about that, that's a very high degree already, very high honor already. And you must know that he did not say that thou art a teacher from a best university, UBC or Harvard or whatever it is. No. Above man, from God, a very high honor that he gave to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came to Jesus with the hope to find out more about Jesus. He acknowledged the Lord Jesus to be a teacher sent by God, since no one could perform such miracles without the direct help of God. That is the people's observation. In spite of all his learning, all his knowledge about the Bible, he did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as God manifest in the flesh. He was like so many people today who say Jesus was a great man, was a wonderful teacher, an outstanding example, and so forth and so forth. My friend, all these statements fall short of the truth. You know why? Because Jesus was and is God. He's not man. He was and is God. Not only a man, he was and is God. And so Jesus said to him, verse 3, all right, you read verse 3. John chapter 3, verse 3, have your Bible open, then we go through, okay? Verse 3, ready, go.
Jesus answered.
Now, at the first sight, it seemed that Jesus cut him off and did not answer what Nicodemus had just said. Isn't it? At a glance, you think that is the case. But actually, our Lord Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you have come to me for instruction. But what you really need is to be born again. And that is where you must begin. Otherwise, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I must mention here concerning the word again. The word again, or enothein, all right, enothein in Greek, can be translated in two meanings. Can mean again, and it can mean from above. There are two meanings here in this word. Enothein and enothein, okay? There are two words there. Jesus, the birth that Jesus spoke of was a heavenly birth, was from above, a heavenly birth, a new birth. And a man used here means anyone, everyone without exception, including Nicodemus. So the heavenly birth is a requisite for anyone who would enter into the kingdom of God. You want to go to heaven, how much you need? You need the kind of life, you see? Earthly life cannot give you the kind of life to live in heaven. Spiritual life, heavenly life, the life that God gave it to you. You understand it now? So the new birth of which Jesus speaks does not mean turn over a new leaf. It does not mean that. It is not an effort to do better. It is not water baptism. It is a transformation of character wrought by the Holy Spirit. It is a miracle of God. If it is a miracle of God, it means what? Only God can give you that life. No other people can give it to you. So this is what Jesus is talking about. Now, various terms are used throughout the New Testament to describe this spiritual experience. I tell the truth, when I was a young Christian, I was confused with the word born again. I was like Nicodemus. I could not understand. You said Christian, yeah, I know. Go to heaven, I know. What is born again? I cannot understand, cannot figure out. And I kept that for a long time until when I have time, a need, I really study what it's all about. And this is where the conclusion comes in. The Bible gives us various words to describe the meaning of born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, one born again is seen as a what? A new creature, or a new creation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, say quicken, a new life. Quicken means a life, new life. Then Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 talk about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. It's a new man. All right? And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it's been described as what? Called out of darkness into light. So all these terms used in the Bible is actually telling us the same meaning. Born again. Born from above. Heavenly life. If you have heavenly life, you have all these things. You have all this character with you. Therefore, Jesus proclaimed that salvation requires not just a grasping of ideas. You may have a lot of ideas. Know the Bible very well, from Genesis to Revelation. You may read the whole Bible. That doesn't mean you are born again. Not merely a superficial change. Not just a moral transformation. Then what is that? It is a thorough change of heart, of will, of mind, and character. It is a new creation, not renovation. Renovation is still old. Let me renovate all of it. New. It's not. It's a new creation. Make everything anew. All right? Remember the word. It's passed from death to life. What is death? Gone. It's a new life, new kind of life. This kind of transformation can only come from who? Can only come from God, through the working of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the person who accepts Christ as his or her Savior. If you believe in Jesus, you have this kind of life. It's given to you, and also given to you to become a child of God. When you are a child of God, you have the right to stay in heaven. Right? You want to stay in my house, you must be my child. Or else cannot. So there must be a relationship. So what you know doesn't matter. It doesn't come into this category. So my friends here, you may know a lot from a Christian school, read the Bible many times, but the question is this: do you truly believe Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's very important. If you say so, you are. Then there are certain things later on I would say. Now, Nicodemus, verse 4. Okay, let's look at Nicodemus. What is the mind of Nicodemus? Chapter 3, verse 4. Can you please read? John 3, verse 4. Ready? Go. Now, this question that Nicodemus asked showed that Nicodemus did not perceive the spiritual intent of Jesus' word. He could not understand. He's a great scholar of Israel, could not understand. He thought that Jesus was referring to a second physical birth. Second physical birth. Which the word again, if you interpret in that way, it means that physical birth, right? Therefore, he posed a question. How can a man be born when he's old? Can or not? Of course cannot. He said physically cannot. Jesus is not talking about physical birth. He's talking about spiritual birth, heavenly birth. Furthermore, he had missed the point. Jesus spoke of a birth from above. Not physical birth, but heavenly birth. And Nicodemus thought of a second physical birth. Now, this is more of a shock treatment. Because Nicodemus heard of that, he got a shock. How can that be? You see, he got a shock. For somehow, Jesus must dislodge from Nicodemus thinking the idea that he was already in the kingdom of God by virtue of his first natural birth. Jesus must take away his idea. Throw that idea away. This was the teaching of Judaism. The Jews teaches that. Judaism teaches that a Jew did not need to gain entrance into the kingdom of God. By his natural birth, he was automatically in it. Like some Christian think of that. Are you a Christian? Oh yes, I'm a Christian. My father is Christian. My grandfather is a Christian, active in the church. Right? No. Born again, spiritual birth doesn't come from that. Not through natural birth, from the parents. Therefore, his good works were merely to make him well-pleasing to God. The Jews believe is from the family. If you are a Jew, you belong to God's family. You are God's children, so you can go to heaven. That was his, their understanding of theology. But it's not that way. It's wrong. The shock treatment had worked well. Nicodemus asked for further light. And then Jesus explained to Nicodemus about what is being born again. All right, this is a difficult part now. Verses 5 to 7 of chapter 3, John. Will you please read 5, 6, and 7? Ready, go.
Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. How thou art asking that into thee, he must be born again."
Ah, this part caused a lot of confusion to many people, right? And many interpretation here. All right, what is that all about? When it comes to water and spirit, there are many interpretation. However, I will narrow down to three main interpretation. The first interpretation is that water symbolizes baptism. And the Spirit referred to conversion of the Holy Spirit. All right. Generally speaking, those who have a high view of baptism means that those who believe baptism is very important, is as important as salvation, will hold to this view. And this includes the RC, Roman Catholic, the Lutherans, and many Reformed scholars also. All right? Must be careful, Reform. Many of them. The obvious problem with this view is that nothing in this context, Genesis chapter 3, connects with baptism. There's nothing. Jesus never talked about baptism. He talked about water, but he never talks about baptism. Furthermore, the sacrament of baptism had not yet instituted by the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be impossible for Nicodemus to see the connection of the sacrament of baptism with salvation. He cannot see because still not arrived yet. Some insist that literal water is intended and that the Lord spoke of the necessity of baptism for salvation, especially the RC and some of Lutheran church people, and also the Church of Christ. In America, you have one. In Singapore, also, you have Church of Christ. They all believe in that. Baptismal regeneration, that's a doctrine. However, such a teaching is contrary to the teaching of the Bible. Throughout the Bible, we read salvation is by what? By faith. It's by faith, by in Christ alone. Baptism is intended for those who already been saved. If you are truly saved, you want to be baptized to testify, I'm a believer. All right, for that purpose. Not for salvation, but for a testimony public confession, not as a means of salvation. Second view of this water and spirit is this. Water and spirit each refers to two different births. All right? One is physical, the other is spiritual. Physical birth involves the breaking of the water. We all know that. And the point would be that you have to be born once by the water and again by the Spirit. And verse 6 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What does that mean? Those who hold to this view will say that physical birth is not enough. There must also be a spiritual birth if one is to enter the kingdom of God. And this spiritual birth is produced by the Holy Spirit when a person believes in Jesus. This is the second view. This is a possible view based on the Bible and theology is correct. I have nothing to against it. But this is not my view. The third view favors a single description of the new birth rather than two different births. This is possible because of the Greek text. I'm going to the Greek Bible, the Greek text, okay? Seems to indicate that Jesus was speaking of one experience with two aspects. All right? Now I'm talking from the, not English Bible, but Greek Bible. In order to decide among these interpretations and to understand John 3:5, we must go back to John 3:3, where Jesus told Nicodemus that no one could see the kingdom of God without being born again. Right? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, the Greek word translated again here has two possibilities, as I mentioned before. One is again. That's correct. The second one is from above. From above. In John chapter 3, verse 4, Nicodemus assumed the meaning of the word again. Refers to what? Physical birth. Refers to physical birth. And he found it hard to understand. He pictured himself as an old man trying to get into the mother's womb and be born. How could that be? Definitely it cannot be. Now in John chapter 3 verse 5, Jesus Christ restated himself, making it clear that what he meant was not the meaning of the word again, all right, but the meaning of born from above. Born from above. He does this by paralleling born from above with born of the water and spirit. Both born from above and born of water and spirit leads to the kingdom of God. And therefore, there are two ways of saying the same thing. These are the two ways of saying the same thing. The water here signifying the washing of water by the word of God. All right, this is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And the washing of regeneration in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. So spiritual cleansing is not literally by the water. Not literally by the water, but by the word of God. The word water refers to the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. A person who takes heed of the word of God, listen and then practice it, be sin forgiven. Furthermore, this view gives strength to the Old Testament text. Furthermore, we can find the teaching of water and spirit signifying spiritual regeneration in the Old Testament. All right? Where is it? In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 36, 25 to 37. Can you all turn to Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27. All right, if you have found it, then we'll read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. The teaching about? This is the teaching of born from above. Born from above. New birth means cleansing from sin by the word of God and the transformation of the heart by what? By the Spirit of God. And this is what new birth is all about. It is taught in the Old Testament. And Jesus expected Nicodemus to know about it. He's a scholar. He should know this verse, the teaching of this verse concerning born again, born from above. Jesus made it clear to Nicodemus that the new birth is the work of God and not of man. And in verse John chapter 3, verse 6, he says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That is, human being cannot produce spiritual birth. What can human being produce? You know what? Human beings. Right? Not spiritual beings. Human beings. Human life. So, it's not dead. Flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. That is only God, the Holy Spirit, can generate spiritual life, a new life. Only God can give, not man. How? When a person accepts Jesus as his personal Savior, the Holy Spirit generates a new life in that believer and also dwells in him. And therefore, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, what is that? He is a what? New creature. He's a new person. He has new life, new creation. Not renovation, you see. So this spiritual regeneration was predicted in Ezekiel 36, 26, and 27. This is born from above, being born of God, that makes believer children of God. Jesus' child rebuked Nicodemus as a teacher of Israel for not understanding these things. It's found in chapter 3, John 3, verse 10. Jesus rebuked, Jesus charged him. You are a teacher of Israel, you cannot understand this. Nicodemus should know what Jesus was talking about because this new birth was not a topic foreign to the Hebrew scriptures. Nicodemus did not perceive the spiritual intent of Jesus' word. He insisted on taking everything literally. And that's where the problem comes in. So he pondered the physical impossibility of a man entering the mother's womb, born again, in order to be born again. Of course, this is impossible. Jesus is not talking about all these things. So Nicodemus illustrates that a natural man. Nicodemus illustrates that a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit, for they are folly or foolishness to him, and he is not able to understand them because he is not spiritually discerned. In other words, things may be so simple. We Christians can understand very well, but when you explain to people, they all cannot understand. Don't know what you are talking about. See, they cannot understand because of this. The Lord Jesus Christ then used the nature to illustrate spiritual birth. He reminded Nicodemus that the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You know what? Jesus used the illustration of the wind to show the effect of the Spirit on the person who was born from above. The wind is a mystery. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. It is unpredictable. It is not possible to state just when and where it will take place. That's why the weather forecast always wrong. Do you notice that? Always wrong. I always prepare, believe what they say, but always wrong. You see, they have no control. I cannot blame them. You see, unpredictable. So new birth is very much like the wind. New birth is invisible. You cannot see it taking place. But you can see the result of it in a person's life. When a person is born again, you can see a change in that person's life, a new life. When a person has been saved, a change like comes into his life. The things which he formerly loved, now hates. The things with God, the things of God which he formerly despised, this thing now which he loved. This reminds me of a song. Things are different now. You remember this song? That's what a new birth is all about. Just as no one can fully understand the wind, so the new birth is a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit, which is unable to comprehend. But you can see a change in a person's life in his word and deeds. A work which is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. The point is that new life is the evidence of new birth. If there are no signs of new and different life, then there is no reason to think that there has been a new rebirth. So the person is not born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So the conclusion is this, a question that we ask ourselves. Is the Spirit of God working at your life? Can anyone see a change in your life? Can anyone? Can say, oh, you are a believer now. Oh, you are a new person now. If you remain the same all the time before you believe, and now you claim that you are a Christian, there's no change. My friend, I doubt that you are really born again. You must examine, come to Jesus, and ask Jesus to change your life. Not the pastor or anyone. Only God can change your life. Will you do that? May the Lord help us.